We're holding in Parshas Behar, obviously. Now, the beginning of Behar has in itself a very, very interesting, I guess it's a side point, which deals with the Behar, just like this is given Behar Sinai, so to all the mitzvahs. It doesn't really seem to have much to do with the parasha itself, but the Rambam in Pirshim Shnayis speaks about Mesor HaTorah and uses this Yisoid as a very important part of it, and that's why we'll go through a little bit the Pirshim Shnayis here. That, Ki kol mitzvah shenasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe Rabbeinu shalom nosen lo b'firusha, haya omer lo ha-mitzvah v'achar kach omer lo pirusha v'inyana. So this is the Rambam's description here is very, very important. We tend to, if we ask us, what is the relationship Torah Shabbat Torah Shabbat, so you say a little bit is in Torah Shabbat Ksav, the Torah Shabbat Peh is more clear, explains a lot more, says a lot more. There's a very different relationship. What's written in Torah Shabbat Sav, he calls the mitzvah, and what's written in Torah Shabbat Al Peh, he calls the pirush. In other words, it's just like when I make a following statement: you need to be a loyal soldier. What does loyal mean? Well, these are the details that go into loyal, but it's really, it's not just a question of two different. What's the right word for it? Two different state. It's two different pieces of information. There's a klal and a prat. A mitzvah is a description of a certain klal, and the pirush. In other words, it says that Shabbos is a day of shvisa. How does one rest? So it's important. Shabbos is Shabbos Shabbosin. And then there are pratim. So every mitzvah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, the mitzvah as written in Torah Shabbat Ksav, pirusha v'inyana, meaning its details, its explanations, how it's been implemented, and also what it's about. If I were to maybe clarify it or say, one would be like the halacha, one would be the agada. What is this mitzvah? What are the inyanim included in this mitzvah? What are the lessons that Torah wants to teach? V'inyan limuda yisrael ha'yikfisha oimeh ha'yamoyshe nechas ba'oyel. There's a tchilas aron. Then he brings the chazal, and it's very interesting. Pirshmais brings a long chazal. They would just skim over it. It's the Gemara in Erevin that Moshe would go in and Aaron came in first. Moshe would tell him over everything that that he was taught. And look at what the Rambam writes his lashon. Umayisha haya oimalei hamitzvah nesunlei pamachas v'lindehu pirusha. Difference in lashon. Now, yes, the pirush is written in Arabic. You can't be medayik it with a fine knife. But the one thing is clear that the Rambam pirush does not dump the two terms together, because Torah Shabbat Ksav, you have to say over. All that my Rebbe does in Torah Shabbat Ksav is tell me the words. There's no input be'etzem. He's not teaching me. He's saying ha'edus and giving over whatever is written there. Torah Shabbat Al Peh, he is taught to me. And that's why memorizing the words, the exact terms in Torah Shabbat Al Peh is less important, and it's not important really. Then he says, "V'yistalek Aaron. Aaron went stood on Moshe's right side. Elozi Soma Bonav came there. Moshe told him over again, and then there was the children, the Shemus Kenim, and there was the Hamoinam and so on. And then Moshe taught Hamoinam. Then Aaron taught Hamoinam. Then the Kenim taught them and so on. And then they were settled with each other. That's the Chazal over here. I wonder why." Does the Rambam go through the whole thing? I mean, the main point is basically that everybody learned it, and so on. And also this whole parade over here to have Moshe retorted Chayisol, then I got up and taught it, and then children, the Skenim got up and taught it, and so on. What's this whole ceremony about? Very interesting ceremony. So I think the point of this is, this was the threading of Mesorah. In other words, Torah was taught to Klal Yisrael at its very first instance in a way that clearly defined the Mesorahs. They sat. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first to get up and to tell to them. Then they heard it over from Aaron. Then they heard it from Aaron's children. Then they heard it over from Ayin Zkenim. The thing that became a chazaka basically was that Torah would go from Rebbe to Talmud to Rebbe to Talmud and so on. I think that's the pshat in this whole ceremony over here. And then he says also that Nimtzei, he says, the end of his paragraph. Kol ha-kol shema mitzei edal l'pam. Everybody will hear it 4 times. Pam pi Moshe, pam pi Aaron, shiz pi bono, viz pi askenim. So there's also, it's interesting, the Stipler writes someplace, a person asks him how many times the minimum amount of time to learn a Gemara or something. He says 4 times based on this. And, you know, it seems as if 4 times is sort of a minimum, but I'll call upon him. The etzim, the whole ceremony of having through all the different people, that progression and one sitting in front of the other, all I think is the beginning of Masoros. But they would go and they would teach each other. They would write down what he told them in Megillus. There was no Torah yet. The Machlokes, the Gemara of Torah, is given through Megillus, or Torah Stuma, Nitna. And the Sorim went around teaching, learning people, till people could read it, they were fluent in the mitzvahs. And then they would teach them the pirush that Hashem gave over. Now, it's interesting that that's the tzura in the way that they felt had to be given over. It had to be given over to know what it says and then understand how to pirush it. This is a little bit tricky. We don't teach kids like that. We don't teach the kids the pshat, the pasuk, and then say but chazal darshan. No, it's the tzura that the tzura that the Ibn Ezra, the Rambam taught. Not quite the way we do it. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, speaking about last week's sedra, speaks about ayin tachas ayin, and he says that the Torah wanted us to understand that somebody who's mazik, you do to him exactly what he did. So he says, don't come and tell me that the halacha is not like that. That's shaykh to the world of halacha. His lashon is ki ve alta judeini, he says. What's his lashon? Don't be troubled by the fact that we punish with money. I'm now trying to explain what the pasuk says, not what the Gemara says. In other words, the pasuk says ayin tachas ayin, that the rightful punishment for a person who hurt someone else is that to him should be done with the other. The halacha we carried out through money, because it's just a custom, because that's how we would do, that's how, so on. But the two dimensions are both separate, and they need to be taken as such. Our methodology of teaching is that what Rashi says is the pshuto, and when Rashi feels the chazal is the pshuto, we go with that. And you know, there are chiluk ideas obviously on this, but I'll call upon him. The Rambam says they first learned the Gemara, this is what it says, and then they would learn the Pirush on it. And that Pirush would be kolal inyanim, and not, it's a little bit obscure what he means. And it's possible that it means, like I said before, Agada. Vayikosim ha-mitzvah v'loinu al-peh ha-kabbalah. They would write the mitzvah and learn ba'al-peh the kabbalah. Now, the halacha is, it's interesting, because halacha l'maisa, even though Dvarim Shem Iksav Yator Shoyin l'ma ba'al-peh and Dvarim Shem Al-peh Yator Shoyin l'koisvan, the Yator Shoyin l'koisvan l'halacha doesn't mean you can't take notes. It means you cannot canonize Torah Shem Al-peh. In other words, until they wrote the Gemara, everybody would have their own notes of the shit that they wrote, and that was Megillus. That was something that was legitimate. However, you couldn't publish the edition of this is Torah Sheval Peh. You could keep notes for yourself. Rabbeinu HaKadosh published it, and today this is the Mishnah, and that's it. Anything else is a Mishnah Chitzonis, and so on. Here he writes that they would write Megillus. Obviously, there was no Torah yet. And Torah Sheval Peh, they wouldn't even write. So this he learns from our Chazal over here, that the Har Sinai, our Pasuk tells us that this parsha that was said at Har Sinai, even though we find no mention of it in the Aseres HaDibros, so Bal Korchach, all the mitzvahs were similar to that. There was something that was given in there was a klal naprat, both give me Sinai. V'hinei l'chom mashal. And so I'll give you an example of what it looked like. Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe b'sukkos tesh shivas yomim. The Rambam says there is what was given is the basic, and I think it's important to keep focusing on the language the Rambam uses. The Rambam talks about Pirusha. In Torah Sheval Peh, there are two types of discussions. One is the basic descriptions of the mitzvah, like the things he listed over here. What can a sukkah be made of? How big does it have to be? And what are the requirements and so on? There is also a question, what if questions? Let's say I have an oil aroi inside, sleeping under a bed. Is oil aroi bevat lel keva not? Lav dafka that was given at Sinai. In other words, there is a chazal that everything at Talmud Vasek is asid l'schadish was given to Sinai, but it, according to many, it may very well not be this over here. And let's understand the difference. If I tell people besukas teisha shivas yamim, and that's all I tell people, I've told them nothing. Then basically, there is no halachic system. There's no chiyuv. There's no mitzvah. It's commemorate sukkah as you feel is appropriate. As you feel appropriate means one guy goes shopping, one guy goes to the beach, and one guy drinks in a bar. It means nothing. So I have to explain, what is a sukkah and what does the yeshiva mean? So anything that one can understand as the basic description of the details of the mitzvah, that had to have been given straight from Sinai. And even if the Gemara darshens it, one is going to have to say that either it's an asmachta of some sort, asmachta, double check, however you want to call it, or maybe got forgotten at some point or weren't sure about it. But tachlis, not giving it at Sinai means the mitzvah is not a mitzvah. Then there are new questions. There are questions that one can reasonably categorize as being something that you don't have to know in order for the mitzvah. So l'mashal, what does chatz made of? You have to know, or else you can never build a sukkah. If you sleep under that yeshiva includes eating and sleeping and so on, yes, that's there. But now when we get to something like sleeping under a bed is an oil, aroi mevat oil keva, now that you could have sukkahs and beyetzah sukkah without having any resolution to that question, or having discussed the question. So it's a question that happens to come up sometimes. So one could make a chiluk between those types of Torah Shebal Peh. Another indicator of that difference would be as follows. We have a part of Torah Shebal Peh that's called the Medrash Halacha. Includes the Mechilta, Safra, Taras Kanim, Sifri, and Bamidbar and Var. Now, that Medrash Halacha is on the Psukim, tells you the drashis, machlokas, and so on. That's its surah. It's basically all drashis. There's no masa matn in it, really. That's 99% of it is that. Now the question is: so many people feel that this was the original format of Torah Shebal Peh. In other words, we were told each pasuk what does it mean to tell me, and therefore, in the Gemara. So the Gemara has more discussion about it, machlekes, and if there was disagreements, and b'shakavataria, and also lots of new cases, takans chachamim, etc. But by distinguishing between what's a basic drasha and what's a case that came up, one could possibly draw a difference between two layers of Torah. I mean, they're both, for us, they're both binding, but it's important to understand that this had to be given Sinai. If there is no Torah Shebal Peh Sinai, then all mitzvahs mean whatever I want them to mean, which basically is another way of saying it means nothing. It means whatever I want it to mean. There has to be a much more clear sense of meaning rather than a vague, preserve the memory of Mitzrayim. Okay, that's the Rambam's Akdama Pirshas. So next piece is Ramban. Like, what exactly does it mean? What are we talking about? What happened here? The fish lomad sino shmitas karkos shenishes barves moav lomadnu shekol ser perser kulemer b'sinai uba kosev limit bikan al kol diba shiru moish b'sinai shemesinai hoy kol sev detem bechazev nish barves moav lashon Rashi. So he says like this, look, this mitzvah of Shemitah is only listed here, and it says Behar Sinai. So there are other mitzvahs that some of it is Adibris, and some of it is in Dvarim. And one could be inclined to say that Naser Adibris, they gave one part of it, and in Dvarim, they gave another part of it. So this tells me, no, that everything was given in Sinai. Ben Noch Ben Eklav. So he says he thinks he has a problem with it. Shaharba mitzvahs b'kishmita shes b'avas moav. V'neida ben sh'neamru kol sever semi senai oibol moyet. There are many other mitzvahs like that will not be repeated again in Dvarim. So, v'oi minayi shok shashara dibris sh'nishna b'avas moav l'shmita v'loi kol semi senai p'tzein b'avas moav. Maybe this is unique. Maybe forget. The Pasuk is telling me this is giving me senai, other things are not. Makes a lot more sense to say that. Yes, we don't find any other Pasha Shemitah, so this is all Shemitah. Mashenke, things that are repeated in Dvarim, obviously they were left over for whatever reason Hashem chose. Avol, so he says, so that can't be Pshat, that's not the Pshat the way Rashi learned it. Avol, Habraisa Shmeru Tarskarnim Pirusha Bar, Shashmita Nemru Kosel Misinai. So Rabban says it has nothing to do with Arvis Moav. The flow of the flow of the pasuk of the Karim is as follows. We do find Shemitah given later on. Before, I mean, the Mishpatim is all part of what's attached to Har Sinai. Now we find the pratim, and then at the end of it, we have a pasuk that links Elam Yisrael Hashem Moshe Yisrael Bar Sinai. So we link together all the mitzvahs. So we say the same model applies to all of them. It has nothing to do with having a raya from the varim one way or another. V'chein shana shamatar askanim Elam mitzvahs eino v'asher lechadish oidav me'ato asher tira asher Moshe kedash lich hasholchoi as Moshe al bnei Yisrael. Arvismov is bechlal just a repeat of a beer of the Torah. It has nothing to do with giving out all the part of mitzvahs and so on. The mitzvahs as mitzvahs with details were given klolim and pratim were all given in Sinai, and. Anything of Narvis Moav has no shaykhis, there's no one in sinus of Torah Narvis Moav. Narvis Moav is Moshe Rabbeinu simply re-explaining the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's see the next piece. Next piece is a Ramban, and he speaks about he goes off on a tangent on Golas from Bittul, Shemitas, and so on. So, really, he says the Seder Psukim is like this. At the end of Kedoshim, we have a pasuk telling me that Kedusha is the basis for our staying in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that should have been a segue into Bechukosai, which is telling me of the bris that secures Eretz Yisrael for us and vice versa. But since so much of it hinges on the Shemitah, he first has a tell of Shemitah, so we understand that Shemitah is the most integral part of a schus for the Eretz Yisrael. Well, if he died, he never can be said enough. Kipirish b'har Sinai means ba'alois ha'shem kabalu chashniyas. So he has a very different pshat here. So the Amenezer said that that was the Seder Advar. He says, no. B'har Sinai is luchashniyas. Ba'alois ha'shem kabalu chashniyas. Ubir inyin. Ki b'tchilas ha'boim yom yashayim shol so shayna kasa moishah seif ha'bris as kol divi Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a bris. He said over all the mitzvahs, and he made a bris. The eagle was
a bitla bris.
So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a bris with us on everything, except that this bris would be a much stronger bris. The second bris is going to be reinforced with olis and klolis. It would include everything. There was no difference in content, but in terms of firmness and reinforcement, it was much stronger.
And so on. Romans will call a mitzvah and shpatim v'sur shayna. Behine b'seva b'sarishin em hashviyas bechlal kmo shizkati shem v'hashviyas teshmetan atashto.
In the first bris, in the first sefer, the bris on shmita was very kolistic. You know that there's a din of shmita. Now there's going to be a lot of detail and a lot of clearly articulated punishments.
Was he called Moshe called that soil of Amakim with Chila Advan Shatsiba Shasu in Mirza Mishkan, Vinny Kibla Dov, the Simkra, some fun of Yad, Ubo Kulam Nasan Dov. They made a Mishkan, Gashukum Yadik, Hashem Moshe, Hashem Sinai, Tzvel Kobonus, and so on. because Hishlim Omlem Oitzvah Hashem Bar Sinai Lefarzachem Hashmita VaYovel VeLichaschem Al Kol Hamitzvos VaMishpatim BrisChadasha VaOl VeShvuah. So he says, why didn't you have a repeat of the Karbanis? So is the same bris, and we didn't need any more of the maisa. We just added more punch to the bris. He's giving back the same bris that was in Sinai. What he did was, I hate to use contemporary words, he renegotiated the bris with us, and now the same bris becomes with olos and klolos and so on. Let's finish first, and I'll explain something. V'chein bris arves moyev kein hoya shekiv leim atoya ba'olos v'klolos ha'heim via bris. So I said the same in Aris Moya was the same nature of a bris like here. The emes omush of nay oras ashmita v'yevu kachas v'choches v'asen espash v'bris asay shenis. Let's talk a little bit about this point over here, and let's sharpen a certain nekuda. What exactly did the olas and the bris increase over here? What exactly did it help? So you could answer that, you know, they got more scared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatened a lot more, punished them a lot harder. He made the consequences stronger. That's, I think, a shallow way of looking at it. I think the point of Ola and Klolos is that let's give an example. Imagine somebody is in a school, and you know the rule is if your average dips under something, you get thrown out. That's the club. So person at some point lazes out and he's out. The second time, if you want to do it better in a way that will possibly be more effective, is you don't wait for the person to say, okay, everything is fantastic until your average gets below a 3.0, then you're out. What you do is you say, as soon as it hits this number, sanction A starts. When you get to the next number, sanction A and B and C, and so on. What you do is you create a whole series of reactions, a whole series of pre-failure consequences, which stop you from getting all to failure. The Ola and the Bris is there so that before we reach the point of no return, we have things that are pushing us to do what's right. The Ola and the Bris are consequences that happen as we are, as we're regressing, Chas v'Shalom. So chances are much better we'll survive. Just like a person who has a pain mechanism, people who don't have pain mechanisms, there are such people. Their first realization that they are mortally ill is when they die. Before that, there's no realization. But for people who have pain, so starts with a small pain and a stronger pain and a very, very difficult pain, Chas v'Shalom, and you know, it sort of progresses to a point where we can take, we're prompted to, and we can look for help step by step. That's the mindfulness. So the Ola and the Bris are there to allow us to do step by step shifting back into what we're supposed to, rather than Chas v'Shalom just going off. Okay, first before I forget, next Sunday I will not be here, Mitzvah Hashem, I won't be able to do it. Two Sundays is Shavuos, so Be'ez Hashem, I think three Sundays. What's the any questions, any points? Anybody wants to say something or?
Well, let me ask in the end of the Rambam there, the last paragraph. So, Lefi the Rambam, how exactly, like by Hilchos Sukkah, how exactly are the pratim given? Like you could distinguish a few different models. One is, it's given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu, as part of that, receives how the Yud Gimel Midos connect the language right. of the pasuk to the halacha.
Right.
And then another model would be that he's told the halacha. And Chazal come along, and they explain, here's how you connect it through the Yud Gimel Midos. And a third model would be, like you said, a smachta. And maybe a fourth model would be like a reconstitution, like you
right,
said. Like,
right, a double
connection. Okay, so which, if any of those, is it according to the Rambam?
I have no indication from what he says. There's nothing, he's not nachas to explain that. Not, but any one of them could possibly fit. I don't know. You have to look. There are other places to look and say about mitzvahs, machlekes, Rambam, Ramban. There are other places, but here I don't think there's any indication of any of it. And I mean, there's also it's hard sometimes to pin down exactly the Rambam in Igris when he answers what he meant by midivrehem in Kedushin. That's midivrehem.
Yeah.
He says something, but it's very hard to pin down. I mean, he explains himself. He says, but just reading it, does he mean to say that the word midivrehem does not mean a drabbanan, means something that we know of it by the way drabbanan bring it to us or not? In other words, it's not that the mitzvah, that the kedusha kesef is kedusha drabbanan, but rather we know it through divrehem. I think that's what he means. But I have a hard time pinning down exactly what he means up there. It's just hard. So the language is vague and it's very hard to figure. I mean, he's addressing it and he's very, very passionate about, you know, he's answering somebody who came out against him, but very hard to know what is exactly that he means. Okay.
Seems like Rebbe HaKadosh was changing, besides the Mishnayos, the fact that he put it together and he made it, that's the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Also change it from being a pirush on the Torah shebichtav. Is there any possible reason why he did it? Why it became a separate?
Well, I would say it's the same reason that the Rambam. It's eerie, but the Rambam's big hero is Rabbi Nachkadish, and he says he's going to model his sefer after Rabbeinu Akkadish's Mishnah, and he's going to use the language Rabbi Nachkadish uses. And he also points out in one of his letters, the Rif was the first one to extract halacha from the Gemara, but did it lefi seder haGemara, which makes it difficult for a posek to be able to look up a shaila needs to. Tachlis is one thing of learning Torah. So I learned through Torah from Bereishis that I call Yisrael. Every pasuk I go into, my ayin was a pasuk, was a pasuk telling me. But when I want to do something, I want to blow shayfa, I need to have all inyani shayfa together in some sort of sequence. The Mishnah is that radical change. It's part of the Eis Lasses Lashem that people forget and they can't do it. They also have a very hard time putting things together. That's why bringing it together in one place was the change Rabbeinu HaKadosh made to Medrash Halacha, and it's what the Rambam did to the Rif. And the Rambam sort of says that he makes that point now in one of his letters that yes, that is a change that I made. It's a very different approach. I guess it's for the usefulness for people. Let me give an example of the difference between the milas and chesronos of the two different approaches. If I, Lamashal, teach Hilchas Pesach, I'm teaching about Pesach to kids. So one way I can do it is, Pesach morning, you daven early, and then you have a seal, and then you run home and eat chametz, and then you burn your chametz, and you go to the mikveh, and at night everybody dresses up, and then you this, that, 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 and that's a very useful and practical guide
the Hilchas to what to do with Lel Seder. It's a totally distorted picture of the Halacha. The Halacha starts with the Chiv Achilas Matzah Lel Tasvav. It then progresses to a din of Amiras Hagada on that. And then a Takanas Chachamim Tabdalat Koises with it. Then you have Divrei Chachamim on how to do Haggadah, to Shail Zetshuvah, Sedashah, and so on and so forth. The macaroons that you eat for Tzim Pairis, which is number one on the chart, what to do with Pesach, is kind of very, 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 very far at the end. So somebody asks, what's the marker for the minute of eating macaroons on Erev Pesach, 6 in the morning? One is structurally the right way to do it, and one is simply most practical. It's fascinating that the Rambam himself does both in Hilchis Chametz Umatzah. He does one or two other places. He goes like this. The mitzvah of Yitzipur is this. The mitzvah matzah, this, and so forth. And he goes through each mitzvah structure like he always does. Then the last parak is Nimtza, that at night, this is what you do at night. And then he goes in a chronological order because tachlis, people need to have it a very, very practical way. So in terms of learning, understanding, structure is paramount. And you start, you go minakla la prat. And that's the right way to do it. When you want to be very lemaisa, and somebody doesn't know or just needs to review the things lemaisa, you go with the luach, the desert style luach is the most perfect, chronological document. When the gabbai gives a clap, it doesn't give a clap, but the order of which is a doraisa and which is some vague minig and which is just a practical reality has no shaykhis. Okay, good.